Good morning and welcome to Faith Springs live here in Houston. And just awesome to see you. And I'm glad you're here this morning. I'm not too awake today. I'm not too bouncy. I don't know what's going on. I think I just didn't sleep very well last night. But I'm glad to see that some people are hopping on. And we're just going to give, like we always do, you a chance to go get a cup of coffee, another refill. Grab your Bible if you want to get a notepad today and a pen and pencil or something to write down with. I think we're going to give you a lot of scriptures, and I know we're going to share with you a few things that you're going to need. Everybody's going to need what we're going to talk about today, and I'm looking forward to visiting with you. I sure miss everybody. I can't wait till we get back into the building again. Like always, and I know I get people that tell me, why are we doing this? Like always, if you want to text me and let me know that you're here, that just lets me know that Don and Doug are doing their job in California and it's going out to everybody. Good morning to you as you come in. And I was telling Don beforehand, I think I was online so many hours yesterday doing webinar, all day webinars and stuff. And it just seems like I'm tired of hearing myself talk. I don't know if it gets, of course, when you live by yourself, sometimes I'm talking to myself, but I'm talked out. And, but we have a good word for you this morning. So good. Everybody's starting to come on. I'm seeing the characters fill my screen here. Oh, good. I always kind of like to wait to make sure Gene is on and Patsy and some of those ones that I want to make sure that they're there and not having trouble with their internet this morning. I don't think I have a very long message today. Won't we always go up to straight up to an hour? There's the overalls. Okay, welcome to you.
Greg, can you hear me? Greg?
We try to, Kim?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, what's
I'm having
going on?
Trouble with my, I'm having trouble, hang on. I got disconnected somehow from Philip's class, so.
Oh, okay.
Phone's kind of wonky. Good morning.
Good morning to you. Okay, we got a lot of people on with us this morning, so just welcome, and we'll kind of start officially now this morning, and here we are in, July 19th already. The year's halfway over. 2020 is going to go down in one of our years as being probably the most unpredictable, most out-of-balance year that we've had in a long time. And we're going to talk about some things today that I really believe that each and every person is going to be able to get a hold of. And I'm going to silence my phone so that doesn't bother me because I have a tendency to want to find out who's talking. We're going to open up with a word of prayer like we do. And the purpose of the prayer is obviously to ask the Lord to bless this, but I wanted to focus on you, your spirit, your heart, and just be open to whatever. I got to scoot in here. Because today is going to be real. Okay? It's going to really touch, I think, some people's lives that you don't want to be touched. But I think it's so important. Scripture deals with it, and it gives us a way. And it was, and I'll get to kind of the intro here in a minute. But that's what we're going to be praying for. We want you to pray for all the people that's on the prayer list that Esther has been sending out. There's quite a few people down there that we want to just remember. We have Jesse Outlaw. I think Walter was on there with his back. I think Debbie Holtz in the hospital. We have several people that. Is on that prayer list, and some that's been on there for a long time. We also want to remember all those senior saints that are home and getting up in their years and having more difficulty in that process of dealing with some of the things. Being at home, being contained sometimes is not the best for that. Some people, they need to be up and moving better. So we're just going to be lifting all that up and wishing that the Holy Spirit and praying that the Holy Spirit opens up your heart, okay? Let's have a word of prayer. Pray with me if you would. Don't go get coffee now. Let's focus on God, okay? Dear Lord, we just want to come to you right now. I thank you for another day that you've allowed us to be here. You know, it seems like a lot of times I can focus on the negative, Lord, but I'm just happy that I'm breathing this morning, that I'm awake, that I'm able to meet with the most awesome people that we call Faith Springs. And just even though we're not in the building and not in the same room, Lord, I still feel their love, their support, their friendship, because we're family. And Lord, I just ask that right now, as we jump into a middle of something that you talked about so many times in your word, and that you've proved in your word that it's something that we need to deal with, Lord, help us understand it. Help us to release chains today. Be free from loads today of what we've been dealing with. Help us to experience a little bit of that freedom today that can only come through you. Open our eyes to what the word says to us. Be with those, Lord, that need your touch, your presence, your peace, your healing. Surround them with your love. Lord, we give you all the praise. It has to go to you. It's not any of us. What will we do with it? We'd mess it up. We'd act different. We'd change who we are. We would get even more full of pride than what we are already. Lord, we don't want that praise. Let today be the day that we praise you for everything. Thank you for hearing prayers. Thank you for answering prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, go take one last gander. Oh my, oh my. Okay, wonderful. Good, looking good. Once you get your Bibles out, you know, I was on a webinar yesterday in Boston, and we did an all-day thing, and it was just wonderful. And normally when I'm doing this, I don't hear, but normally when I'm on these webinars and these online presence is that I'm still letting people in the room, is that I watch the chat. And it was going pretty good. And I was dealing with, you know, my books and how to deal with abuse and trauma and all that. And then I hit on a subject. And when I hit on a subject, the chat started going, whoa, I've danced on a nerve that must be something that people have issues with. And when we went to the Q&A at the end, people were just questioning. And I loved it because it was a religious, pointed towards religious seminar, so I could actually share Jesus and get into the Bible and deal with that also. But I noticed when I hit that subject, it was an unbelievable amount of nerves that exposed, hey, I'm dealing with this too. So as I had a sermon, and it's over there on the table, I put it to the side and said, okay, maybe I need to look at this because I realized that there was more healing that needed to be done in this area in my own world as I was talking. And like I do here, I preach to myself, I speak to myself, and then hopefully you can just kind of get in and gather something from that. So as I was doing that, I know every theologian, every seminary person, every professor would say, Greg, you can't do a sermon that way. But I always put on something in the background to break up noise. I don't like total silence. So I'm working on a sermon. So I put on I Love Lucy. Okay. So I have I Love Lucy up on the big screen TV. And I know most of you are shaking your head going, oh, what kind of pastor do we have? I'm just being honest. I can lie about it. I could say, no, I was on my knees for 3 hours asking the Lord, please. But that's, you know, that was just in the background. So as I was working on this and had all the papers spread out and they were all going everywhere and the Bible open and I was just flicking through pages and writing down notes on my legal pad and all that stuff, all of a sudden, as I was on this subject, I looked up, and I Love Lucy was showing the episode, and if you're one of the fans of I Love Lucy, where they were getting ready to go to California. California, here I come, was the episode. And all of a sudden, Fred and Ricky were trying to put all the luggage that they were going to have in this old Cadillac car that Fred bought. No, it wasn't. That was after. But it was the new Cadillac car. They were putting all of the stuff in the truck. Well, Lucy and Ethel kept bringing all of this stuff down from the apartment. And as Fred and Ricky was having the trunk full, they were closing. Okay, you have just enough room. Well, they just kept on bringing stuff down. And before long, they had baggage that was just absolutely out of this world. And Fred said, you all go back up, and I'm going to try to get all of this. So he ties all the bongos and everything all the way down the road where the car only had this much room to see, and all the luggage was tied around and on top and everywhere on this car, and there's just no way this car would ever go to the destination it was supposed to be under those conditions. And as I was sitting there going, whoa, I paused and I thought, that's me. That's me sometimes. We all have back, okay? We all have stuff that we deal with in our life. And that's what I want to get out to you today, that there's a scripture that I want to kind of share with you and then give you some steps on how to deal with your own personal baggage. I know you probably haven't been on an airline lately. I hope you haven't anyway. But have you ever noticed one of my total pet peeves is when somebody brings baggage and it's called a carry-on. You know, and I do that every time I travel, when I go all around for these weekend things, I always have a carry-on. I never want to put anything under the plane because normally I'll be going to Atlanta and somehow my baggage gets in Chicago. So I always want my luggage to be a carry-on, okay? But have you noticed lately, the last couple of years, carry-ons are getting bigger and larger, and now they're putting them up in the upper cabinet, and they're just shoving them in, and then the people are coming, and the stewardesses are coming by and trying to slam the door down, and it's just like, good night, and the bags just get bigger and bigger and bigger as they're trying to put it up in there, and there's just no way it's ever going to fit. We do that. We have that in our own private emotional world, that we start carrying the baggage, loading up and tying on another bag, another sack, another hurt, another pain, another bad experience, another bad relationship. And before long, our body, our vehicle, our vessel that God wants us to proceed on with Him gets to where we only see so much, because everything is just surrounding us. Okay, I don't know if that was a good intro or not. If not, Don, cut it out. Let's edit it. We won't put it online. But if you would, get into Ephesians. I want you to find Ephesians. Ephesians 4. This is good to me. I need this. And I think I'm just now starting to get a grip on this. And I'm 50 years old. Ephesians 4. And what I think I would like for you to do, see if I can do this without messing anything up, is to get your old baggage out. Where's it? and start unzipping right now your own personal baggage. And look inside. Okay? As we're doing this, don't say, oh, I hope Richard's listening to this. Richard, you can take this yourself. Philip, don't say, hey, I hope Becky's listening to this. Oh, she's getting this. Do this yourself. What is in this bag that you have been carrying all way too long? What's in there? What can you find when you open it up? Something that you haven't let go of. You know what we end up doing? We end up doing exactly what these wonderful companies do with luggage. They come up with these little wheels so we can carry the baggage with us more readily and easily. You do the same thing with your own hurts, your own pains, your own stuff that's going on in your life. Matter of fact, you go, oh, I think I'll just take this with me. And I don't want to get rid of this, Greg. I would just prefer to roll this along with me and just carry it for the rest of your life. And I have years and years of baggage that has gone on in my life that I've carried that I need to get rid of, and so do you. Because after so long, it starts becoming uncomfortable. It gets us out of balance. It gets us off kilter because we just can't do what God wants us to do freely when we have all of the other stuff coming along with us. I've spoken about this I don't know how many times, but I want you to look at this one because I think this is going to be a key. Ephesians 4, verse 26. There, say, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, we got people with unmuted. Okay. Ephesians 4, 26 starts like this. Don't let anger be your boss. Now, that's my version. Be angry, but do not sin. So it tells us we're going to have times, days, issues where you're angry with somebody, with something, with this world right now, with this virus, with the governor or the mayor or whoever's just not doing it the way you know they ought to. Be angry, but do not sin. And then it gives us a time limit. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. Don't give the devil the space. You see that? It gives us a time limit. So it's telling us when Paul is revealing some just great wisdom for us in life that wasn't just for that church, it's for us today. He says there's going to be times that you just can't handle things, that you just get emotionally involved and it hurts. And in that hurt, it's okay. Just don't let it take over. Don't let it be your controller. That's why it says, be angry, but don't sin. Always be in charge of it. Okay? So this isn't even where we're heading yet. But I want, this is all free, didn't cost you anything. Then it says, if you're going to have these kind of emotions, if you're going to have these kind of things that happen to you and, you know, and things just irritate you and you get aggravated and frustrated and angry, don't let it control you. But tell you what, it probably would be pretty good wisdom if you give it a time limit. Now, a lot of people, and let me look at see what John MacArthur says. I love John MacArthur's Bible, but, you know, sometimes it's right, sometimes, you know. Let's see, what was that? Ephesians 4, 26, 27. Yeah, let's see. He says here that the sun go down. Don't let the sun go down on your anger here. He says every righteous anger can turn to bitterness, so you should be set aside by the end of each day. I'm not for sure Scripture wants or is indicating it's just a 24-hour period. So I don't want to get caught up on that, but I think we ought to be able to be intelligent enough and close enough to Christ in situations like this, that if something happens to us, it hurts, we get mad, just don't let it control you. Don't let it cause you to sin. Don't allow that. But then don't hang on to it for eternity, because that's what we do. Don't put it in the nice little bag and place it in the corner and carry it with you for the rest of the day or the rest of the week, the rest of the month. What was in your bag? You remember? How long have you been carrying that? How long have you tried to put it up in the carry-all compartment? Because you want to make sure you have it with you every day. It's starting to affect me and you. Okay, let's don't take it personal. People that you know, okay? Not you, of course. But people that you know. Maybe it'll help you understand them better. Because we all are guilty of this, per se. Then he goes on down. So jump down to verse 31, because I think this is a good verse. They're all good. If you have all this going on inside of you, and you kind of don't let the sun go down, and you put a time limit on it. Verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, along with every form of malice. Let me tell you something. If you have the tendency to do with things like I do, we have something happen to us. I have so much of my mom in me that my mom would never forget. And it's hard. And it's taken me a long time to process hurts and pains and frustrations. But we like to put them in a package, stick them in the corner of our luggage, our baggage. And then it starts forming something different. It starts creating a life of its own that starts taking that. It's only a small part of my heart. It starts taking a bigger and bigger and bigger piece of me. In my mind. And then it says right here, get rid of all that. Get rid of all that rage, that bitterness, that anger. And if Paul was sitting in a room with us right now, he'd probably say, it doesn't look good on you. Greg, get rid of that. Most of the time, when I'm at the office and we're in meetings and something happens, and they'll ask me a question, and I've just been frustrated because the meeting went 2 hours longer than what it should, and we haven't even got on the subject that we were meeting about. And then they ask me a question. I tend to have the answer of just fight back. It's like, that's not the way to be. That's not the way a person should be, because we are to be Christ-like. We are to be the examples, the ambassadors of Him. We shouldn't be that way. So Paul's saying, be careful. Something's going to happen. Don't let it control you. Get rid of it. And then make sure it doesn't cause you to turn bitter, cause rage to come up inside of you, anger to come up inside of you, along with every form of malice. Tonight, on the program, Breaking the Silence, I have Micah Davidson. I was on his church service last week talking about forgiveness. I was talking about the freedom of the past. We're talking about forgiveness this morning. But Micah's going to talk about words and how words can destroy people. And he wrote a book called Sticks and Stones. And it's going to be really good tonight. And malice is one of those things that ends up coming back. Because not only does it not hurt us, we carry it, and then we start talking bad about those people that hurt us. Then we start slamming them, slander and malice on them. Well, that's the kind of person they are. And it says, don't do that. Get rid of all that, all those forms of malice. But watch this. Watch this. Right in the middle of this daily advice, okay? And you've just seen this. Paul throws a wrench in the scripture. He puts Jesus in this. Oh. Really? Absolutely. He knows that Jesus is going to be the answer. Watch how he does this. I love this. He connects it all to Jesus. Verse 32. After you give her all this stuff and all that, be kind and compassionate to one another. Why? Because the world knows we're Christians by our love. You know the song. If you don't know the scripture, you know the song. So he's saying, I want to give you some personal advice, but I want to make sure it's tied in to Jesus. Because, folks, this is our shield. This is our badge. When I'm in those meetings, when I'm on those online, when I'm dealing with doctors or whatever, and it gets tense and we're going crazy, we're trying to say, where are we going to put these next 10 COVID people? And we're fighting, and you know, all that stuff, and what are we going to do? How are we going to get everybody, you know, all of that? In the middle of all that, if I'm the only Christian in the room, I ought to have a different look on my face and a different response. It may be the exact same advice that a non-Christian would have in the professional world, but it needs to be presented in love and compassion and understanding with a different spirit, because that's how in a room full of non-Christians, and we're all talking about a subject that's tense, the one person that is a Christian in the room ought to be able to be the light in that darkness, and they ought to be able to say, wow, they all have this. Well, great boy, he's still smiling through this. And sometimes I fail at that. Sometimes I allow the nerve that's been exposed and cut into and tapped into. And let's be honest, you do too. But it says, be kind and compassionate to one another. Because that's what Christians do. That's what we need to be. Folks, in this crazy, crazy world, they have to be able to look out across the crowd and see the Christians, to see our love, understanding, our embracing of them, our ability to care and have compassion on people that I don't particularly want to care for sometimes. A lot of times Christians do this. We see it and we shake our head. Oh, well, they're going to either get right or burn in hell. Oh, we have to be better than that. We have to love them through it. And possibly, maybe I'm wrong, but possibly when we love them in those conditions, in their sin, they'll see a difference of what Jesus can do in our own hearts. And there it is. That's how to have righteous living, because we allow Jesus to reign. So don't let this control you. Don't let it turn rage and anger, malice. And then that 32, just be kind, compassionate. And don't use it as a byline. Use it as a way of life. You care. You love. You understand. You share. You give testimony. It's a perfect opportunity when somebody comes up to you and they share all of their stuff that's going on for you to go and go, yeah, I remember I was like that, and give them the instance that you were. But you know what? Christ got me through it. And this is how. It's a perfect door to witness. Folks, the day of evangelism explosion, where we used to be able to go, and I don't know if you all remember those days or not, but it was a program that every church had, every Baptist church had in the country, and we would go around door to door on Thursday nights from 6 to 8, knock on doors, and have evangelism explosion and try to get people saved with a few key questions. That worked back then. But you know what works better now? Is for us to live Christ where we're at. That's why I love being bivocational. And when I'm on all these webinars with all these full-time ministers, they all go, oh, well, there's Pastor Greg. He's a bivocational pastor. Just like, yeah, you know, he's not worth much because he also has a real job. Yeah, you know, well, we won't listen too much to him. We'll go with Dr. So-and-so that is a full-time pastor at this church. Well, I'll tell you what. I would way prefer to be bivocational and be able to be out in the world and share Christ each and every day with people, that I can show them how to be more like Christ and show them the impact that I have. Okay? So all this, how do we do that? How do we get kind and compassionate on one another? Keep reading the verse. Forgiving each other. That's how. Forgiving each other. And watch this. As Christ and God forgave you. We forgive because we're forgiven. I don't know how you deal with that. I know that was the subject that I was on yesterday when it hit a nerve and everything down the side started talking and chatting. Almost every Q&A question afterwards was, how do you do that? How do you do that? How do you get there? Because some people have such damage done to them that there's no way for the person that hurt you to ever pay you back for that. It's impossible. It's impossible. For my dad to come back from the grave and try to pay me back for anything that he done to me. It's impossible. Even if he could come back from the dead, there's no way there'd be anything that he could do that would offset the damage and pay back. So the only way to move on is to let the damage go. Some of you may be going right here and somebody, oh, Pastor, you don't know my story. If I could only unmute right now and tell you what they done to me, you'd understand. But that's why I carry with me, because I deserve that. No, you don't. You don't deserve that pain. You don't deserve that guilt and that forgiveness mode of not forgiving them, the unforgiveness baggage. You don't deserve to carry that any more than what I did. You have to forgive them for you. Forgiveness is not for them. Forgiveness is an act of self-love. If you love yourself, forgive them, because it will release that in you. I promise you, it will. And forgiveness is never about fairness. It can't be. Jesus died on the cross, the worst possible death imaginable. And I don't think even Mel Gibson's movies that did the, you know, it's hard to even watch the act, the reenactment of crucifixion, is even close to the unbelievable pain that Jesus had done to his body. And then on top of that, to look around and see that every one of his friends, majority of his friends, were all gone. And then in the middle of that, while he's hanging there, his father had to turn his face away because all the sin on this world was on his son, and he couldn't bear to see it. All that other pain would hurt that we don't even fathom, but the pain of when God turned his head away from his son, the pain that Jesus had to experience, was not fair. It wasn't fair. But he did it to forgive you. So we should in turn take 1% of that same love and allow it to be used in our lives with other people, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. There it is. There's the answer. Forgive that other person just like he forgave you. And I want to tell you what, no matter what you have done in your life, and I have a list that makes half of you blush and the other half of you go, what? Over my life of sins. But Christ has forgiven every one of them. Every one of them. Then we need to also forgive others, because it says, Paul's telling us, here's the way life works. Here's the way you can get through it without all the baggage. Here's the way that I want and God wants and the Holy Spirit and Christ wants to have in this word for you to be able to use in your life from this moment on. Anybody that's listening right now goes, well, I didn't know that verse. You can't say that anymore. You know it. You will be held accountable for it now. It is inside of you because you watched today. The word of God has been placed in your heart, and I pray that that seed grows so big that you cannot not see it every day. That every time that we do something that's out of character in us, that I say your mouth off sometimes when it's not Christ-like in a meeting, that somehow the Holy Spirit will go, ding, 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 Greg, wake up. You just preached on this 2.5 years ago, remember? And me come back down to my senses. Oh, yeah, that's right. That was Ephesians 4:1. And if you have to memorize it, be kind to one another. Forgive one another just as Christ. And there may be days on the highway. There may be days when you're waiting in line at Ross or wherever. I made the mistake to go into Ross on a Saturday yesterday. I had broke the thing that was holding my phone in my car. So I thought, okay, I'm just going to run into Ross and buy this in the little electronic section, see if they have one. And it's a little thing that you stick in your vent of your car, and you put your phone there so you can actually drive and almost kill everybody on the road while you're trying to text and drive. Anyway, so I broke, so I needed another one. So I go into Ross on a Saturday. And when I walked in, the security guard said, "Hey, welcome to Ross." I said, "Hey," I'd always been friendly to the security guards. "Hey, you got everything up to snuff? Everything safe in here?" He said, "Yeah, but it's a madhouse." He said, "I hope you're ready to wait." It's like, oh, no. So I walked through, got it, got in line, and the line was all the way through the Six Flags. You know how they do the Six Flags. And all the way down the hallway. Of course, now we have to be 6 feet apart, which makes the lines even longer, but it took forever. And the frustrations of that, the stress of that, when somebody tries to cut in line or somebody gets their card and they butt up next to you, you want to say, "Hey, wait, that was last year. You don't get to butt up next to me anymore. We're social distancing. Come on." And that frustration, that anger. We need to remember, be kind. Be compassionate. But more than just a Ross line. What was in your bag? What was inside the luggage that you immediately saw? What is inside that is taking up the most space that you have carried around one decade too long? 1 month too long? If you've been through divorce, you know what the wickedness of that could be. Chances are you're dealing with something like that. If you've been through a friend betraying you, lying to you, not being there when they promised they would never let you down, and then all of a sudden, they're not there anymore. They've moved. And didn't even tell you why. You may have to give that one up. You get the little pink slip in the paper, in your the piece of slip paper in the check envelope. That was old days. That was old school. They don't do that anymore. And you get fired. But Wanda showed up late every day across the hall. You need to let that go. What is it that you've been carrying with you so long? Only you know. Forgive them. Forgiveness is not about being fair. Forgiveness is about experiencing freedom. Freedom. We need that. I need that. One other thought, and then I have 10 pages of how to do it. I'm not going to get to that. I'm just going to shut it down. Forgiveness is giving up all hope. For a better past. Forgiveness is giving up all hope for a better past. But it won't bring the baggage and mess up the present and the future if you let it go. There's nothing that can change the past. This is the situation you are in. Forgive. Forgive. Don't go in the world like this anymore. Start snipping the ropes and letting all the bags fall to the side so you can see exactly where Christ wants you to be in full view to be able to get to the destination that you need to get to in your life. There's a phrase. I don't know who said it. I wish I could give credit. Earth has no sorrows. that heaven cannot heal. That's so true. We could open up all the lines, and I could tell Don, unmute everybody, and let's just let them tell me. Everybody's probably sitting there going, no, not everybody. Probably a few would say, but wait, I have one that outdoes everybody. Earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. Today, start the healing. Start the healing. Ephesians 4, 26. Let me just read it complete. Let's go up to 25, and then we're going to close out. Therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Wow. We're community. We need to be real. That is our biggest asset with Faith Springs Baptist. We are real. That's our biggest positive that we have. We're authentic. We're real. We are real friends. We're real family. I love that. For we are all members of one another. Verse 26. We've already talked about this. I'm just reading it. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Verse 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed by the day of redemption. You are sealed. If you're born again, you are sealed. Nothing can break that seal. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Now, you know, normally, because the way this is written, the way man put it on paper, we would stop there and go, okay, what you got? Don't stop there. Next verse, 5, verse 1. Therefore, because of all of that, be imitators of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. If they would have called and asked me, hey, should that have been in chapter 4 or 5? I probably would have voted, I think that ought to be the last verse in chapter 4. And then start on the negative side in chapter 5 with, you know, don't fornicate, don't adultery, don't all this stuff. But I think that just kind of goes into chapter 4. That we become imitators of him. That's what I want. That's what I want when I walk into Denny's for breakfast. I want people to go, hey, there's a guy that acts a little bit different. There's a guy that lights the room up when he walks in. I want that when Don and Doug log in to the Zoom meeting when we're getting ready for this show today and tonight. I want them to think, wow, he's a pretty good guy. I like who he's living for. I like who he's following. I like his Messiah. his Christ. I want to know more about his Christ because I see something different in him. What do people say about you? I need to remember that this week. Things are getting tough. Things are getting stressful. Things are getting tense. The days are getting longer. The demands are getting more. And maybe it's that way with you too. Your bills are piling up. The kids are getting more restless. School just said, well, you can't do it now. You got to wait a couple months, whatever school system, different rules. And you're going, oh man, I can't take one more day. This is some just good advice. Get rid of all that junk in the past. And don't allow anything else to be put in the baggage. It's okay to get frustrated. Just don't let it overtake you. Be imitators of Christ. That's all I got today. That wasn't the direction I was supposed to go. I didn't think I was going to go. But that's where the Holy Spirit, I think, led it. That's what I needed to hear, and I hope you did too. As you go out into the world now, shine your light into the darkness. And you're saying, Greg, we don't get to go out into that world. In your emails, in your text, you can still do it. In your Zoom meetings, you can still do it. For the love of Pistol Pete, with the people in your house, you can do it. Why is it that the people in our own home are the ones we end up taking it out on the most? Shouldn't be that way, folks. Let it go. Give it to him. Forget the past. Forgive it. And show love today like you have never showed it before. I want to invite you to when we pray to give that up to him. I want to invite you while you're sitting there right now, just real quick. We just got to get another minute or two. Do this. Grab a pen and just write down what's the things that you haven't given up yet. I can't forgive her for that. Write it down. Boy, he hurt me. Write it down. Don't simply, when we say this prayer here in a minute, blanket over all of it. Specifics is a key. Be specific. This hurt me. Don't take the scab off and relive the hurt. But write it down. And then when you have that list, be honest enough to pray, dear Lord, this hurts. And go down the list to him. Go down the list, each item, and tell him how bad it hurts. And then say, I want to forgive them for this. I don't want to carry it anymore. It's turning ugly on me. I need to let it go. Do it for me. Help me do it. And then grab the list after you say amen. Burn it or go to the toilet and wad it up and flush it. And make sure it goes all the way down. Make sure it burns all the way up. Make sure you snip it all the way across if you use scissors. Because if not, in a weak moment, you go back to that emotional toilet and pull it out and pull it apart and say, oh yeah, that was it. Or you dig through the ashes and try to find out and relive the pain again. No, let it go. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. and you will experience freedom in Christ like you've never experienced before. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we just want to come to you right now, and I thank you for your word. I thank you for the Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us. Lord, that wasn't the direction we were going, but apparently that's the direction that I needed to hear. Thank you for speaking to me, not so I can share it with everybody else, but that I can deal with it myself. Lord, show everybody how to deal with this. Let us remember these verses. Let us not carry the baggage anymore. Lord, show us how to let loose and be imitators of you. We can't do this, but you can. May freedom rule today in each person that is listening to this and going to listen, Lord, to the replays. Help them experience freedom. Because of what happened on the cross, we get to experience true forgiveness. Now may we forgive others the same way. You're an awesome God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Thank you all for being with us today. Don't forget tonight on Breaking the Silence, if you want to be there at 8 o'clock Central Time, you're more than welcome to hop on and be there with Micah Davidson. It's going to be really good. It's going to be probably we'll go to the religious route. We don't do that very often. If you have not had the blessing to listen to Jay and Gloria's program from the other night about what they're dealing with and their own personal pain, I tell you what, listen to it. Forward that to everybody, because I believe there is a kidney donor that's going to listen to that and hear that story, and prayers are going to be answered. I want to just pray for your safety. I hope everybody's doing well, that we're getting word on. If you need help, if you need anything, let Esther know, and she immediately gets that to the ministry teams and to me, and we'll be praying and lifting you up. We probably still have a few more weeks. I know some big churches, believe this or not, some big churches have canceled church through the rest of the year. I could not believe that when I heard a couple mega churches are now not having church again in the building until January 1st. Unbelievable to me. We're not going to take that step right now. We still have our school to be opened up in next month. We have that date on the calendar. Luann has worked that out and sent and warned all the parents, and we are anticipating that. Pray for safety. Pray for wisdom. Pray for protection when that happens, and understand that everything is not written in ink anymore. It's in real light pencil, so we can change it when things change in this crazy world we have. I love you. Wish I could be with you, and I can't wait till we can get rid of the mask and we can just put arms around each other and hug and say, wow, you look good. I've missed you so much. We love you. Thank you for sharing and being with us this morning. And we will talk to you next week right here on Faith Springs Live. God bless you. Have an awesome week. God bless.